Well, welcome back to the program. We've been these wildly successful, the unconventional club reviews. I wouldn't be surprised if it bobs up on Nova Breakfast next year, given the success of how well this has run. But we've thought about who can we get for the Brisbane Lions, and there is only one man, and there's my great mate, Jonathan Brown, who joins us. Welcome, Brownie.
It's great to be on, boys. I'm sorry I'm a day late at the interview Harry Shearer yesterday. So I said, Harry Shearer or the boys at SEN. So I had to bump you for the voice of Ned Flanders, right. Boys.
You can bump us for Harry Styles, but not Harry Shearer.
No, it was one of Sam's men, so it was good. And we had a good chat to him, but I'm glad I'm doing this Lions review because we had a pretty good season this year. We didn't go all the way to the top, but I thought they were pretty good, boys.
Yeah, you're up and about. I lived the whole year with you. I did the roller coaster. I ride the highs and the lows, and we got to that prelim and... Oh, gee, I tell you what, Wisp, I wouldn't like to have done the club review with Big Johnny after that prelim.
Were you a bit flat?
It was a bit disappointing. I was a bit flat. I was especially flat that we didn't get to make it to the grand final and see Wispy's magnificent preview in his jeans and sneakers on Channel 7. It was just unbelievable. I thought I was watching Jerry Seinfeld do the grand final preview.
I haven't asked him about this, Brownie, to be perfectly honest.
I thought that we were sitting behind a desk. There's no way known I would have gone on national TV with over a million people watching, as they were with our preview show that day. Would I have gone on dressed in that particular clobber, John? I'm glad that you brought it to my attention because I haven't addressed it all week.
I didn't think there was a man in Australia that could pull that look off on television, but only you could do it, Wispy. No. I stood to attention. I thought it was magnificent.
No, there's still not a man in Australia that can pull that off.
Still got a Wispy.
Hey, now that you mentioned wardrobe, how much time does old mate here spend just making sure and fussing over what he wears when he goes on air with you blokes?
Oh, he gets funny too, and I think he may have had a few shirts stolen as well. And if I turn up, because we've got similar burgundy jackets, yes. And if I turn up in the burgundy jacket, and he's planning on wearing it, well, he's hell to pay. There is a pecking order at Fox.
He just
throws his weight around, and all of a sudden, I just have to roll back to the Navy.
That is very obvious. True. That is very John. We need to get on to this review, but just quickly, one other final thing. When that grand final preview show, when the worm what was her reaction, mate, when the worm didn't work the way that old mate thought it was going to?
Oh, it was unbelievable. Trying to keep up with the bloody worm. So Gary didn't. He couldn't quite understand that when the worm was going down towards me, King, that meant we were going well. He thought it meant we were going backwards.
Oh, it might make
this
it
is not going to work. Is there any spots over at Channel 7?
Right, you know, I love you. You know that we will welcome you with open arms.
Nah, the worm was a bit...
Only if you've got a worm. Only if you've got a worm. Yeah,
we've got a worm.
Righto, come on. Get on to it, Wisp.
We've got a working worm. Hey, okay, question one, Jono. Who is Brisbane's next All-Australian?
Well, he was in the squad last year, Hughie McCluggage. Former South Warrnambool boy. I played with his old man at the Mighty Roosters, but I think Hughie McCluggage on a wing. I think he should have already been there. And another underrated player, boys. The only man to stop Dustin Martin in the final series, Darcy Gardner. He's a very underrated defender.
So I've been working with him too long because I've got my book right here. I've got Hughie McCluggage down as well, Wispy. I think he'll get there in the next year or two.
Good leadership at Brisbane Lions. They got the right captain, Jono.
Look, I'm happy not to rock the boat and stick with Dane Zorko. I think he's done a good job, even though I think his form dropped away in the second half of the year. I'd stick with it. Now, you could toss up Lachie Neale because he won the Brownlow. But I think Lachie's just happy playing his role. And I think another year just to bridge over to Harris Andrews. He'll be the next captain. Harris is 24 years old, so if he takes over the captaincy at 25, I think he'll be captain for the better part of five, six plus years.
was why we got him on. So I said yes. I said yes to the Zork for another few years, and then I didn't have Aris Andrews as my next one in line, but I think Johnny might be right on the money there.
No, he's been spoken highly of from Chris Fagan, so that's usually a bit of an insight into what they're thinking.
Yeah, no, a real leader. Player X, who play? This guy plays well, and the Lions are always a chance of winning.
Pretty easy one for me, Eric Hipwood. So he doesn't have to kick big numbers of goals, but I think when he's up and about, and we saw his maturity in the second half of the year, the Lions are always a big shot. So Eric Hipwood, expect him to keep improving, boys.
I went for his little mate next door. When little Charlie lights to join up, then the Brisbane Lions are in a very, very good space. So
He gets the motorbike happening, Gaz.
He gets the motorbike up and going, and away they go. Yeah. So little Charlie for me.
Ying, 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 ying. Little quacker, eh? He's got there. Hey, Joey Denner is going to add to all of that as well. Hey, left field trade option. Who should you go after the Brisbane Lions?
Who are we going after? Okay, well, we know we're going to get Joe Danaher. So hopefully we can get that in free agency, and Essendon will be happy with that. So that's obviously going to really help the forward line. A left field trade option, Jackie Redden has still got his house in Brisbane. I'd go after Jack Redden. I think the midfield needs some more run and pop and a little bit of experience in there to bolster the midfield to take him to the next level. He's 29 years old. He's very versatile in his position. Very resilient, and his alter ego, Eugene, is magnificent on Mad Mondays.
Well, you try and get him back, you reckon? Is any chance at all or not?
Well, yeah, I think they plan on moving back there in retirement or certainly post-career. So even though he's a South Australian, I'd ask a few questions about Jack Redden, absolutely. And I just think the midfield just needs a bit of bolstering, boys, and the ability to two-way run. And he's one of the great two-way runners in the competition.
I've gone left field. This is out there. I'd put a call into Sean Higgins before he commits to Geelong and just say, listen, would you like a bit of sun for a couple of weeks? Because I'm not sure Grant... I know Grant Birchall's might have a trigger, but I don't think Grant Birchall is in your best 22 next year if you're going to be contending for a flag. But I reckon Sean Higgins might be.
That is a very good suggestion.
I like it. Yep. Worth a phone call. Love it.
What about somebody to trade out of the club? Have you got somebody there that you might be able to entice a good deal somewhere else?
It's an interesting one, Timmy, on the Joe Danaher topic. You know, I know Brisbane likes playing three forwards, but Joe Danaher and Eric Hipwood and Dan McStay. Is that one too many? Because they've got Lincoln McCarthy, got Cam Rayner, so they've got some sort of hybrid type forwards that can take a mark. I just wonder whether Dan McStay is worth offering up. I certainly think there would be some value there. The other one is, it was probably out of favour, but would be well sought out after by other clubs, is Alex Witherden, the halfback flanker. Now, Brisbane's got a lot of halfbackers, so I think Alex Witherden would be good trade value.
Is he? Yeah, I've got Witherden. I thought if I was going to go and try and get Higgins in, then Witherden would go out.
Okay, who deserves a pay rise? Probably a lot of Brisbane Lion players after the season they've had.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a hard one, I think, because they are a younger crew, Timmy. But I think Brandon Stasovic, who really came onto the scene this year as a big, strong sort of half-backer, he's got a capability of playing on some taller guys, but... I wouldn't be giving too many pay rises yet. I don't want to keep them hungry. We've got to get them all the way to the grand final. Just keep them
I would write a check for a few extra sheets to Ryan Lester. I think he fought outside his weight division. He had to take on some big, big jobs, and I thought he got the job done pretty well. So I don't reckon he'd be on much, so I'd give him a couple of extra bucks.
Well, you've been as sharp as you've
been. Yeah, nice one.
Sharp as he's ever been, Jono. I tell you what,
Froggy Lester.
You bring the best out in him. who should take, this is more difficult though, who should take a pay cut? Who hasn't probably measured up to their salary?
Oh, well, a few of the older guys. It's time now. We've got to prepare for the future. So the younger talent on the list, which there is a lot of... a lot of it, Brisbane will be asking for pay increases over the next couple of years. So you need to prepare for that. So I think the older guys, Mitch Robinson, Steph Martin, Grant Birchall, and I think the captain, Dane Zorko, at the age of 31. So I think it's time for those guys to move back in the pay scale to allow some room for these young stars to keep working their way up.
Steph Martin.
That's if they're still on the list.
Yeah, so if Steph's on, he's going to be on a reduced contract, I reckon.
And expect a big 2021 from?
Cam Rayner. 17 goals this year. He started to get fitter, worked his way into the midfield. I think 17 goals is a pretty good return. He's shown his capability in that first final against Richmond. So a big year from him. Also, keep an eye on young Zach Bailey and Jack Payne, who I thought was fantastic in that prelim final against the Cats.
I put Jack Payne down. I did. I thought he stepped up for Harris when Harris did the hamstring, and he had a couple of good moments. And then I thought he showed plenty during that final when most of them were battling. So I've got a little tick next to him.
And the big positional change in 2021, the final question this morning.
I think Oscar McInerney with a full-time ruckman, which is nothing new. He certainly played more minutes this year with Steph Martin's injuries. I'd like to see Dane Zorko as a full-time forward, probably depending on the recruits they get into the midfield over the off-season. But only 9 goals this year from Dane Zorko is a more than capable small forward. I'd like to see Dane Zorko as a full-time forward this year. And I thought his numbers just dropped away in the back end of the year. Let's just solidify him in the one position.
Yep. If I'm coaching this team, or I'm the midfield coach, I'm grabbing Cam Rayner and I'm grabbing Christian Petrarca's number, and I'm trying to hook them both up and to say, listen, you do this and possibly you could be this. I'd love to see him become a big midfielder.
I did look at that, Gaz. 20 years old or 21 years old. So how old's Petrarca?
Yeah, he'd be 25, I reckon.
25, yeah. So, yeah, that's absolutely the trajectory he needs to be on.
As sharp as Gary's been, Jono, I've had the worm operating here in the studio and your worm's got its nose just in front. I'm not sure worms have noses, but if they did, your worm's got its nose just in front.
Absolutely. Just like the worms in my garden and probably not down at Gaz's farm, but mine are working beautifully, Wispy, so thanks for that. Thanks for that pump up, and we're expecting a big year next year, the Mighty Lions. Hopefully we get all over the granny.
So good of you to join us, our sister FM station. We like to know you have, both you and Sam Pang. I don't know who Chrissy Swanberg's for, but we might have to tap her at some stage.
Richmond.
Oh, she's Richmond.
She's a Richmond gal, so she's been up and about this week, no doubt about it. But Sam did say g'day, boys, and wishes all the best. I listened back to his Carlton review, and I thought it was pretty bloody ordinary. It took a while to fire up, didn't it, boys? God almighty.
Well, you didn't. You came out swinging right from the word go, mate. Thanks for your time, and good luck for the rest of the year.
Good on you, boys. Thanks for having me on.
Deliverr. Simplify your restaurant's ordering and delivery capabilities. Find out more. Visit deliverr.com.au.
Worth's app makes mobile ordering easy. Download it now. Or visit worth.com.au.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Great to have your company. Interesting times at the Essendon Football Club right now, and it's good to welcome the CEO, Xavier Campbell, to the program. G'day, Xavier.
Good morning, Gary and Tim.
Hey, Paul Brasher walked into the footy club, took over as the chairman, said that he's going to go and talk to as many people as he needs to talk to get an understanding of where that footy club's at. What did he learn that led to the decision not to renew Daniel Richardson?
Yeah, I mean, Paul's come in, obviously, as new president. A lot of the time, they're really keen to fully understand the landscape, particularly when, you know, we haven't performed at the level we would have liked this year. And it's a process that has been ongoing for a couple of weeks now. It's probably coming toward the back end. I think, you know, it's a decision that was really tough decision. Now, Dan's a really good person with really strong attributes, and perhaps it's more that the decision's sort of not a reflection on what he's done for the football program. It's a reflection on where we need to take the football program. And, you know, that's, we've sort of identified some gaps that we want to make sure that with a first year coach in Ben and a relatively, you know, talented coaching group, but a relatively young coaching group, you know, a decision like this and the objective of us now is to create the best support possible for Ben and those coaches.
So if it's doing that, Dan, you know, it can't take you where you need to go, have you earmarked someone for that job?
We don't have a person in mind. Yeah, Gaz, you know, we've got a role in mind. You know, we want a strong and experienced leader, you know, ideally with some diversity in their background and their experiences. And, you know, that's why it's important we go through a thorough process, you know, like the review is a thorough process, just like acquiring a new employee has to be. You know, I can't stress that enough. We don't have a person in mind. We have a role in mind. We haven't had any discussions with anyone. We'll start to build that process over the coming days, over the weekend.
And Dan was pivotal in the succession plan that you put in place for Ben Rutten. How does Ben feel now? Has he lost one of his great allies? Would he be feeling under some pressure?
Oh, I don't think so. I mean, Ben's got great respect for Dan. They had a close relationship, absolutely. But, you know, it's a plan that's been built by the entire club. You know, these aren't individual plans that we build when we create succession plans or we recruit new coaches. They require collective buy-in from the board, obviously, myself and the senior leaders in football. And, you know, we've got great confidence in Ben to lead this football program forward. And I'm sure the impact and the benefit of Ben's development this year from the support of Dan, but particularly from the support of John, can't be underestimated. And the benefits of that will hopefully show in the coming years.
Does this mean the club has now changed strategy in any way, Xavier? It has been reported in the past, and Dan Richardson was part of building a strategy. Does this now mean that you're going down a different pathway?
No, we're not changing our strategy, Tim. We're not changing our plan. You know, our plan is clear around Ben and his coaching, where he wants to take it. Yeah, we're changing part of the leadership of that plan to best support it, to hopefully achieve the success we want to achieve and drive the improvement in the program that we want to drive.
This has been about a brutal and honest assessment and review of the club. Is Dan Richardson the only person that's going to fall out now as a result of this process?
No, I'm pretty comfortable that where we've got to now is there's not going to be major changes. But again, like, you know, this is a process, a review process that Paul, with the assistance of our footy director, Sean Wellman, is still undertaking. That said, you know, even before the review, clearly the end of season process and the honest discussions that we have there have identified different areas that we want to keep driving improvement in our program. I'm sure that those themes will continue to come through on the football review. But, you know, I don't want to preempt where that's going to get to and what that's going to look like in the next couple of weeks when it comes to a conclusion.
Xavier, just one final, Gary. The narrative around Essendon, particularly at the back end of the season when players were wanting to leave and we found out about Saad and ultimately left, was that, you know, there was a lot of disgruntled players at the club and players wanted to get out and they weren't happy with the culture and that type of thing. Did that surprise you at the time, the level of angst that was there, and was it real?
Not necessarily in the context of the season that we've just had, and in the environment that we had it. You know, obviously, I spent a lot of time, well, almost the entire time in the hub, and the last 6 weeks was really difficult in the hub. Losing in the hub was really tough. It felt a lot harder than losing in your own environment. And you know, obviously, post-season, to have some players leave our club. I mean, Joey's obvious one. He wanted to leave last year. I thought we got to a position where Joey was really close to saying. I think the length of time it took him to make that decision is a reflection. Got much closer than what people would think to staying at the football club. Raz is obviously, you know, Raz has had that pull home for a number of years now, and that's, he's got a very tight family, and that's absolutely understandable. Very similar to Connor, but you know, Sardi was, you know, he was a surprise. It's disappointing that we're in that position. We have to own that. You know, of course, we want players that want to be here, everything else like that. But it's incumbent upon us to build an environment where players want to stay. But it did get very difficult toward the end. But I certainly don't think the common perception around cultural issues and things, I don't think that's real.
So why did he want to go, Saad? What in your mind now is the reason he wants to leave?
Yeah, I think for Adam, is he found the hub difficult. And
he won't be,
and that's part of the reality. And that's, you know, I would have loved for him to take a bit more time to make his decision, but he didn't, and he's made that decision, and we have to respect that, and we have to move on. We have to get the best trade possible for the football club to drive that improvement, Gaz.
Yeah, but you haven't told me why you think he's going. You just say he's had a difficult time in the hub, but then that's done. He'll be back at the Essendon Footy Club, back out at Tullamarine if he stayed. So you must have an understanding as to why. Was it coaching? Was it positional? Was it cultural?
I think part of it was positional. I think part of it was cultural. I think in terms of like that hub experience was very difficult for him. So I think there was a multitude of factors, but they're questions you'd have to ask Adam. But you know, we have to respect that and we have to move forward from it.
Are you second-guessed at all the process in appointing Ben Rutten?
No, I haven't. And I don't say that to be sort of naive or anything else like that in the context of, you know, being pivotal in making a call like that. I think what we've seen in Ben, you know, his clarity of the game, his relationship he's building with the players. You know, I think it would have been a very, very difficult year for a first-year coach in the environment that we saw this year. And I think him working really closely with John this year is actually it will have fast-tracked his development, the experiences he's been through as a senior coach, the way he's dealt with those experiences, the calmness and all that, I think is going to put him in a really good position. We're very confident in Ben as senior coach of our football club. But, yeah, we want to make sure he's got the best support around him, and that's part of the decision that we made over the last couple of days.
And so if you had your time over again, would you have gone through the same process and allowed John Worsfold to coach out this final season, or do you think it would have been better for Ben to have taken over at the end of last year?
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair question. I'll probably answer part of it in that last answer to Gary's question. I really feel like I appreciate that the season didn't finish how we would have liked. The wins and losses weren't where we wanted to be, and clearly that last sort of 5 or 6 weeks was really challenging. But I still feel like the value that John added to, particularly around the relationship with Ben and the transition to becoming a senior coach and best preparing for a senior coach, has been valuable. And the benefits of that won't be known for a period, but I'm hopeful that that will shine through over the next couple of years.
Have you got Brad Scott on your shortlist?
Well, I haven't got a shortlist yet, Kaz. We've got to respect the process we've gone through to now. And these are really hard decision. No one likes making the sort of difficult calls like this, but we have to. Our members demand that and deserve that. We'll cast our mind to that over the weekend. I've got some meetings. I'll sit down with Sean Wellman, our football director, and we'll start to work through the key attributes and then potential targets for us for that role.
Is there any chance that he will be looked upon as a scapegoat for some of the challenges and difficulties that the club's had to endure?
I hope not. As I said, it's a tough decision. It's sort of a decision. I don't necessarily think it's a reflection on what he's done for the football program. It's a reflection on what we think we need for the football program moving forward. We've just lost some significant experience in our coaching. We've got a first-year coach, and he's a first-year coach. Last year it was John's team. Next year it's going to be Ben's team. And part of this is about us looking forward and saying, well, what does success look like in the next 12 months and what do we need to do to create that?
We're running out of time here, Xavier, but we won't pass up this opportunity not to talk about Bruce Reid. Really sad moment. Not a really sad moment. It's been a really sad week for the football club. Obviously, it's been something that we've known about for some time, but the reality of it all obviously struck the club and a lot of people this week. So I know you had a great relationship with Doc Reid. What is it that you remember most about Doc Reid?
Oh, Doc, we've told so many stories during the week. It's been a really sad week for all the reasons that you mentioned. He's just being around him. There's not many people if I had a choice that I had to spend 4 hours locked away with someone, who it would be. I mean, Doc was, he had a great sense of humour. He could read a room. He could create a really difficult situation and turn it into something really positive. And we've had a really complex landscape the last 6 or 7 years at the football club for various reasons. And he just brought a lot of joy to people's lives. He could connect with the highest person in the organisation and the most serious person in the organisation. But he wouldn't discriminate in any way. He'd talk to the receptionist, everyone, and he made everyone smile. And I just think I haven't seen any commentary around him or any social media posts that have been overstated. Like he was a great person, and the football club is less for not having him here.
No doubt. We've had some, and Tim did a wonderful job in painting the picture of Dr. Bruce Reid, and we share those thoughts and we concur. Hey, Xavier, challenging times ahead. Got to get the draft right and the trade period right. I'm sure you're aware of that. We appreciate you jumping on this morning.
Thanks, Gary. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks,
Xavier Campbell here for Charlie Battisti & Co, Melbourne's most trusted repair of prestige German vehicles. We'll have a chat on the back of 8:30 news headlines.
I was born bold.
Deliverer. Simplify your restaurant's ordering and delivery capabilities. Find out more. Visit deliverer.com.au.
The Worth app makes ordering your workshop consumables and products a breeze. Download it today.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Sammy Edmund joins us. Going to be the busiest man in football. He's here for Tyre Power, keeping you safe on the roads, difficult times, and CMC Markets, award-winning platforms with over 30 years of trading experience. Speaking of trading, welcome, Sammy.
G'day, Gaz. Hello, Tim. And I know it's Fun Friday, but today, boys, it's Free Agent Friday. Great to be with you.
I'm reading the opening part of Daniel Cherney's article. Adelaide and St Kilda are sweating on what the AFL secret free agency compensation formula. What is this secret free agency? Can you help us out?
Only Colonel Sanders knows that, Gary. I'm telling you, they get around the mahogany table there. It's a bit like the vibe. It's Marbo. It's out of the castle. And they decide whether it's right or not. And then, bang, Adelaide get what they're given.
What is happening today, then? Are we going to see some free agents move?
I think we will, Gary. I think the best way to look at this is we've got everything from standoff to safe passage here. I mean, first, the easy ones. They're the unrestricted free agents. So bear with me here. I mean, we've got Kyle Hardigan going to Hawthorn on a two-year deal, obviously plugging some holes there with injuries to Sicily and retirements they've had with Stratton and Frawley. Rory Atkins gets to the Gold Coast. That paperwork should be lodged today. That's 4 years with a trigger for five. Sean McKernan's a delisted free agent, in fact, I think headed for St Kilda. And Isaac Smith is probably the peach, isn't he, in the unrestricted free agent pool. He's available for free as well. 31, durable. I know he had that injury this year, but three flags. What's he doing? Is he staying on a two-year deal at Hawthorn? Is he going to Geelong on the same terms? Or is he going to Melbourne, who have offered three? And then you've got Stephen Martin, unrestricted, in limbo at the Lions, and a few clubs really need a ruckman, the Dogs and Swans amongst them. And Marty Gleeson doesn't have a contract at Essendon and is available, of course. They're the easy ones at the moment, Gaz.
So is there a bit of movement on Isaac Smith? Geelong affirmed, is that right?
Yeah, they've always been in the market. I mean, I saw the report from Tom Morris yesterday that Chris Scott had stepped up the chase, if you like, and they'd had some conversations. They've always been in the frame. Early doors, I wasn't so sure he wanted to go down there and play his football, and we all know about the Hawthorn-Geelong rivalry, and people might laugh at that, but I think that might be a small factor as well. But it's just a decision for Isaac that he has to weigh up, and he's been agonising over it.
Some of these deals are going to be more difficult than others to get done. So in terms of difficulty, can you rank these, the Saad, the Danaher, the Cameron, the Crouch? Which of those is going to be the easiest deal to get done?
So from the most complex or the difficult to the easiest, I reckon it goes like this. Jeremy Cameron the hardest, then Brad Crouch, and then I think Joe Danaher third, followed by Zach Williams and Aiden Corr. I mean, you wouldn't expect a lot of issue with Zach Williams going to Carlton and Aiden Corr going to North Melbourne from GWS. I think Jeremy Cameron to Geelong. I mean, the Giants have to match it, guys, and they will match it. And McCartney and Stephen Wells spoke last Friday, but there hasn't been a lot of conversations around this yet and what it looks like. They've only been brief. Both clubs know there's time, but GWS have confirmed, Tim, they want established players in this period. I mean, we know Proust is coming in, but they're doing a lot of homework on Jesse Hogan. They're investigating that, and they've got a lukewarm interest in Tom McDonald as well, but pick 10 as the compo for Jeremy Cameron. It's just not going to be enough.
Every year there's like a colonic blocker in AFL trading. Is it the Cameron deal going to be the colonic blocker? The
colonic blocker. Colonic. What do you mean? Colonic, you mean?
The colonic blocker.
It paints a vivid picture the way you put that, Tim. Oh, I'm not sure. It could very well be. I mean, we know GWS are going to be amongst the busiest, aren't they, in terms of their goings, but also they hope their comings in as well. So, look, potentially, I'm not sure if it holds up that many deals, does it? I mean, there's no players essentially on the table from a Geelong perspective at the moment. We know they've got picks 11, 13 and 18, and GWS, if they don't heavy Geelong, they'll heavy other clubs in terms of trying to pry those players out. So maybe, I mean, maybe if once Jeremy Cameron goes and GWS know what they've got in the kit bag, then they know what they've got to fire.
I guess my point is that if they don't get Cameron, so that deal doesn't get done, they don't get Cameron, then they want a forward, so then maybe there is another forward that's on hold somewhere else, you know, maybe it's Brown, whatever it is. I mean, sometimes these things are sort of multifaceted.
Yeah, I mean, you never say never, but I think all parties say that's almost impossible that it doesn't happen. I mean, Jeremy Cameron's basically saying he'll sit out a year of football if he has to. He's certainly not going to go back to GWS. And I know that's the ambit claim we hear every year, but I mean, history says they get done eventually, especially when it concerns Geelong, who generally, they say in the industry, operate in pretty good faith. The deals get done pretty quickly down there. So I don't think it's going to happen where Jeremy Cameron doesn't get to Geelong. It's just a matter of how it looks.
So Joe Danaher, that would appear to be reasonably straightforward, wouldn't it?
I think so, but there's some conflicting reports here too, guys. And it was reported yesterday that Lions now, in fact, will offer him this deal at more than $700,000 a season. So on face value, Colonel Sanders aside, history says that's pick seven for the Bombers as compo, which they want and they've demanded. But then speaking to a few player agents yesterday afternoon, they were convinced that the Lions' offer was only sitting somewhere around the 600 mark, which wouldn't satisfy Essendon and wouldn't get them that top 10 pick that they desperately want. So, look, the guessing game goes on.
Tell me this, then. Who's investigating the nudge-nudge, wink-wink deals and saying, OK, you want the first round free agency Secret Herbs and Spices compo. If you could just bump that up to 700, then we'll help you out somewhere else. I mean, these have been rumoured to have happened for some time. There's talk around that for St Kilda and Adelaide, that Adelaide wants some help making sure they get the pick too. So could St Kilda bump up their offer to Crouch so that happens? We'll take a couple of players off your hand, free up some salary cap space. Does that stuff happen?
Oh, absolutely. I think you'd be naive to think this doesn't happen, Gary. And the topic that you mentioned there, I think if it's going to happen anywhere this year, it concerns Brad Crouch to St Kilda, because there's so much at stake here for Adelaide. I mean, it's pick two or pick 20, which will probably be mid-20s by the time all the other compensation picks and academy picks roll out. So that's a massive difference in terms of the first band of compensation and the second band. Again, there's been conflicting reports here of what this offer would look like. I had it said to me as absolute fact, Gary, that the offer was $3.5 to $4 million over 5 years. So somewhere north of $700,000 a season. Now, that does sound like a lot for Brad Crouch, but this person, if he doesn't know, then I'm absolutely staggered. So if it
that
is
that... Sure. A pick two goes back to Adelaide.
It would again, if history's any guide. Yes, if history's any guide, and you talk about Brandon Ellis and the compensation for him and all the others, and Tommy Rockliffe going back further than that. If it is that on paper, that would appear to be, Gary, a first round compensation pick, which in Adelaide's situation is two. But geez, when you see pick two for Brad Crouch, it doesn't wash with a lot of people, and that would give the Crows 1, 2, and 8 in the draft.
But this is the other thing that we should also, it is pick two, but it's the pick after that club's first round pick, really.
Correct.
It's not a number. So
correct.
I know Buddy, you know, the Buddy compensation, people screamed about that and how high it was. Well, it was still the same thing. It just so happened the club finished higher. So it's
correct.
Not, you know, Melbourne got James Frawley, but that was the pick after their first round. So I know two is obviously, and our 8:30 man told us first that they were working hard on the deal to get this done. But it is not necessarily the number, it is your pick after your first round pick.
That's 100% correct. And sorry, Tim, I don't know what your 8:30 man thinks, Gary, but compensation is an absolute farce. It is a joke. And the sooner we get rid of it, the better for the competition.
Don't go mentioning your 8:30 man around Sammy, Gary. You know how it upsets him. You know, they're in competition, Sam and the 8:30 man. You know that better than anyone. I want a new award this year. I want the Plunger Award. I'm going to award the gold-plated plunger for the person that unblocks all the trades this year.
Hey, I think sounds like me and the 8:30 man are on the same page, Tim, so no issue there. But you're right, Gary. A lot of speculation about what St Kilda players could end up going the other way. I think Luke Dunstan in an ideal world would like to get back to South Australia, but at this stage, nothing is forthcoming officially for him. And Jimmy Webster's contracted as well, as been mentioned as a possible trade target, but there's no knowledge in terms of his management knowing anything there either.
And jumping Jack Higgins, not so much jumping, but Jack Higgins was suggested to us that this deal had been in the pipeline for some time with St Kilda. Any more news there?
I think so. I would said a couple of days ago, in fact, that I think the Saints are absolutely in the box seat there. I think that the Tigers would like to keep him, but Jack just wants opportunity. I think the Saints are definitely in the offing there, and I was told to stay on this one, boys, so I think this one will happen. I think he's due back from holidays in the next couple of days, so expect this one to pick up pace as we get close to the trade period.
All right, now we won't talk again until Monday. Any little bomb, and I shouldn't say that, any little sort of super surprise that's going to go off, you think, in the next couple of days?
Well, geez, I hope so, Gary. I think we're all watching with massive interest on two big ones, aren't we? And that's Adam Treloar, which is very much a watch this space on, and Josh Dunkley as well. I think they're the two big watches at the moment. You know, one guy we haven't spoken about that'll be another fait accompli is Sean Higgins, of course, going down to Geelong. So Geelong going to get Higgins kicking the ball to Cameron with Tommy Hawkins playing out of the goal square. I mean, geez, it's still, every time I think of that, it just paints such a rosy picture if you're Barrack for the Cats.
That does indeed. Sammy, you're doing wonderful work. We'll hear you on our station throughout the day, and over the weekend you'll be very busy, and look forward to having a chat again on Monday.
Thanks, lads. Looking forward to it.
On you, Sammy.
Chief Sports Reporter Sam Edmund here for Deliver It, Made to Order and Worth. Every customer has their worth. Download the app. Yes, Whispers?
When we come back after 8, I want you to rate them. Your 8:30 man and Sam, who you've got at 1 and then who you have at 2.
No, I don't do that. That's what you do. And you upset a lot of people when you rated the media. So I've learnt my lesson from that. Let's take a break and we'll be back after this.